You'd like to turn in your Bibles this evening to the book of Joshua in the Old Testament. Joshua, in just a moment, we will take our lesson from that great book. Earlier in the year, I was reading through Joshua as a part of my daily Bible reading, and I was reminded again of what such a positive book it is from beginning to end. Joshua leads God's people into the land, and there's just so many great lessons there from the conquering of the city of Jericho and other things that are going throughout the land. The book opens in a very positive way, and it ends with a great sermon by Joshua in chapter 23 and 24, calling the people to come together and make sure that they serve the Lord and not idols. And so it's just a very great book and a very great message there. But as I was reading through that book again, I was reminded of a couple of places where things are not so positive. And so this evening, I want us to consider two mistakes that were made when conquering the land. In this otherwise great book, positive book, God's people doing what they were supposed to do, there are a couple of mistakes that are made. And I want us to look at that this evening and remind ourselves that if we're not careful, we can find these same mistakes being made in our lives today. You look at Joshua and you look at the Israelites, and they're just people who love the Lord, and for the most part, they're doing what God wants done. But even they can make some mistakes. And so as we make our journey toward heaven, I want us to learn from this message this evening, so that we don't make those same mistakes. Let's learn to do what God wants us to do. And the first song that we had this evening goes well with that. We need to take our life and bring it into conformity to God's will, and let God's will be our will. And we've got to change our life and mold and make ourselves and bring God's will into our will. And as challenging as that might be, we need to do that very thing. Let's not make these same mistakes. Turn with me to Joshua chapter 1. I find it interesting that the book of Joshua begins and ends with some words of success. If you look at the first chapter where the Lord is talking to Joshua, there are great things that are said there. And if you focus, for example, on verse 7, only be strong and be very courageous to observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success whithersoever you go. Well, at the end of this book, we have almost exactly the same statement. Look at the two bookends at this great book. Turn with me now to where Joshua is speaking to the people. So in chapter 1, the Lord is speaking to Joshua. At the end of the book, Joshua is speaking to the people. And look at chapter 23 and verse 6. And notice in your Bible how these same three elements are found there. Therefore, be very courageous. That was in chapter 1 and verse 7. To keep all and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses. That's the second element. Do all that God says. And then that you turn not aside from the right hand or to the left. Notice those same three statements are made at the beginning of the book and at the end of the book. And for the most part, that's what we find in the book of Joshua. Obedience is found all throughout the book. Being courageous and being strong, that's found with regard to taking the city of Jericho. And doing God's word and will is found throughout the book. It's a very positive book. But there are a couple of exceptions that I want us to see this evening. Maybe you remember them. Maybe you can name them in your mind. What are the two places in the book of Joshua where God's people didn't do what God wanted them to do? And we've got to remember, brethren, that it's easy for us to fall into this same situation. We get caught up in the things of our life, and things are relatively positive and good, and we're doing the will of the Lord in many ways, but there's a time here and there when we don't do what God wants us to do. So I want us to learn from these two mistakes. It's important to have God's authority in our life. It's important for us to have God's Word in our life. And as we go through life, whether young or old, we need to make sure that we don't make these same mistakes. And it's easy. Maybe we've seen them in our own lives from time to time. Maybe we've seen them in the lives of others from time to time. Certainly in the area of the Lord's church from time to time, we see where these same mistakes are being made. And they're being made by otherwise good people, good preachers and good elders and good Bible class teachers and good members of the church, we might say. But we find that they're making these same mistakes. And so, brethren, I want us to consider that this evening. When you look at the book of Joshua, it all really surrounds the idea of God's people and the land. In chapters 1 through 5, God's people enter the land. In chapters 6 through 12, they conquer the land. In chapters 13 through 21, they divide up the land. And in chapters 22, 23, and 24, they're living in the land. Turn with me this evening to Joshua chapter 6 as they begin to conquer the land. And let's see the first mistake that was made by God's people in a book that is otherwise very, very positive. First of all, we find that God's people are doing what God said not to do. You know, it's easy to let our will get in the way. And as we sang this evening, we need to make sure and take our heart and our mind and our life and bring it into conformity to God's Word and God's will. When God tells us not to do something and we go ahead and do it, that is a very big mistake. And that's the first mistake that I want us to consider this evening. In Joshua chapter 6, if you'll look with me at verse 18, when God's people were to conquer Jericho, we'll start in verse 17, excuse me, they were not to take the devoted thing. And the city shall be devoted, even it and all that is therein, to Jehovah. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are in her house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. But as for you, only keep yourselves from the devoted thing, lest when you have devoted it, you take of the devoted thing, so would you make the camp of Israel accursed and trouble it. But all the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and iron are holy unto Jehovah. They shall come into the treasury of Jehovah. Well, we know that the Israelites conquer Jericho, but turn with me to chapter 7 and verse 1 as they, and you remember the story, as they go to conquer the smaller city of Ai, they are not able to do that because Achan had disobeyed. He did what God said not to do. He took of the devoted thing. And so this evening, I want us to do two things. I want us to know what the mistake is, but I also want us to notice how was it that the mistake was made. And so this evening, I want us to consider those two things. What was the mistake, and then how did it come about, so that we can make sure that we're avoiding that in our own life this evening. Before we get into chapter 7, I might suggest this. We're not told why that these things were devoted to the Lord. God just says these things are to be devoted. But it's very possible that it might be that this was the very first city that was taken in the promised land. And God has always wanted devoted things to be made of that which is first. And so in Exodus 13, the firstborn was to be devoted to the Lord. The animals were to be, the firstborn of the animals were to be devoted to the Lord. Later there was legislation on the first fruits of the crops devoted to the Lord. And so since this was the first city taken, this might be the reason for the devoting of these things to the Lord. But either way, Achan, turn with me now to chapter 7 and verse 1, took of the devoted thing. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the devoted thing, for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah, took of the devoted thing, and the anger of Jehovah was kindled against the children of Israel. And so when they go to fight this city of Ai, they are defeated. And Joshua wonders why they're defeated. In chapter 7 and verse 6, he rends his clothes before the ark of the Lord. And they're bothered by the fact that they were defeated. And the Lord says, bring all of the people together and we're going to find out that there is sin in the camp. Someone has done what God said not to do. And it really caused a problem. It really caused a problem. And so they were smote, they were killed, and chapter 7 and verse 5, the men of Ai smote of them 36 men, and they chased them from before the gate even unto Shebarim, and smote them at the descent, and the hearts of the people melted and became as water. So it caused a problem. This comes up later in the book, in chapter 22 and verse 20. Achan in the Valley of Trouble. Actually, Achor, or the Valley of Trouble, becomes a theme that is mentioned even later in the Old Testament by the prophets. It's a very significant situation that goes on here that kindled the anger of the Lord. And so it's a very significant event. Well, all of the people come together in chapter 7 and verse 16. Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel near by their tribes, and they're all brought, and finally it is Achan that is found out. And so, we find in verse 18, he brought near his household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah, was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to Jehovah, the God of Israel, and make confession unto him. Tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, of a truth, I have sinned against Jehovah, the God of Israel, and thus I have done. When I saw among the spoil a goodly Babylonianish mantle, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold, and 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and silver under it. Of course, the rest of the story is how that Achan is stoned, and it's called the Valley of Achor, or the Valley of Troubling. And so what we find is this first mistake, and that is doing what God says not to do. Brethren, when we read in our New Testaments and God says, don't do this, when He tells us language not to use, when He tells us to stay away from the works of the flesh, and He lists what those things are, when He tells us what not to do, and we do it anyway, we sin. And it's a very serious thing. But what you find today is, well, I'll just do what I want because I feel like I want to do that. We've got to be careful that we don't make this grave and serious mistake. Now, we're not going to be stoned with stones, verse 25, that's not what's going to happen. But we are going to disobey God. And as the Hebrew writer will say, every disobedience, God will judge every disobedience. And we need to take that very seriously. So first of all, the first mistake is doing what God says not to do. But I want to answer the question this evening, why was it? So come back with me to verses 19, 20, and 21. Why was it that someone wanted to do what God said not to do? Well, first of all, it wasn't because God was not clear. God gives us clear instructions. So when you go back to chapter 6, 17, 18, 19, God is clear when He says, I don't want you to do such and such. In our New Testaments, God is clear as to what He wants us to do and not to do. So that's not the problem. The reason is not because God is unclear. It's because we have in our hearts and in our minds the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. God says, don't do this. And our lust, our desire kicks in. I see something, I hear something, I want to do something that gratifies a feeling in my heart. And I go ahead and do what God does not want me to do. So Achan lets us know why he did this very thing. Come back with me to verse 21. when I saw among the spoil this Babylonian mantle. The lust of the eye. I see things. I know God does not want me to do such and such, but I see, and what I see with my eyes, I want to gratify that. And so we've got to learn to control that. Notice the text says that I saw these things, and I saw the shekels of silver and the wedge of gold. Then I coveted them and took them. We've got to control our covetousness. What we see with our eyes will cause us to do what God says not to do. And when we begin to think about these things, we begin to do what God does not want us to do because of the lust of the eye and coveting, which is a strong desire for something that we should not have. And then the text says, I took it. Notice how the eyes and what I saw leads to the coveting. Notice how that leads to taking. And we find that in other Bible stories. So, brethren, we've got to learn not only what the mistake was, but why was it caused? Because the same cause happens to this very day. When we disobey what God says do not do, and we go ahead and do it anyway, it's not because He's unclear, it's because of our own desires. And we've got to learn that very, very important principle. This lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh and the coveting and the taking, it's the same problem we find with others in the Word of God. Turn back with me to Genesis chapter 3. This is the very avenue by which the devil worked with Eve. God said, do not eat of this tree. Do not do it. Just like He said, do not take of the devoted thing. And Eve did it anyway, not because God was unclear, but because the text says, when the woman saw, it starts with your seeing, with your looking. God says, don't do it. And God gives us our eyes, and we're glad that we have eyes, but we need to use our bodies and our eyes and our minds in God's service. He gives us a mouth, and when Paul says, let no corrupt speech proceed out of your mouth, we do it anyway. Why? Because of how we're feeling, the way it makes me feel. This desire, and don't equate this evening, don't equate lust with sexual desire. It can mean that. We're going to see that in just a minute. It's desire, and it's a desire to do what I want and not what God tells me to do or not do. So when she saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took it. That's exactly Joshua 7. He said, I saw it, I saw this mantle and this silver and this gold, and I took it. Not only do we need to understand, brethren, the mistake that is being made, but why is the mistake being made? And curb that and control that so that we don't do exactly the same thing. So she took of this fruit and did eat, and she gave it also unto her husband. That's what we find in the case of David and Bathsheba. If you'll turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 11. The devil uses the same avenues over and over and over again. Turn with me to 2 Samuel 11. David knew, thou shalt not commit adultery. Do not take of the devoted thing. Joshua chapter 6. David knew that God said, thou shalt not commit adultery. He knew that. Why did he do it? Why do we do what God says not to do? Because of the same kind of situation. So in 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 2, it came to pass at eventide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman bathing. I saw a Babylonian mantle and some silver and gold. That's how it often begins. I see something, I hear something, and it causes me to think I can disobey God, and I can't. So he sees this woman, And from the roof he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, "Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" And David sent messengers and took her. Joshua 7, "I saw the garment and the silver and the gold, and I took it." So I have something that God doesn't want me to have. It's the same process over and over and over again. And brethren, we've got to learn. This was a grave mistake. Men died as a cause of this. Men were discouraged as a cause of this. And in the local church, in our own lives, the same thing is going to happen. We're going to disobey God, but we're also going to cause problems not just for ourselves, but those around us. When God says, do not do something, and we do it anyway, it's going to cause serious problems. And David sent messengers and took her, and she came unto him and lay with her sexual immorality, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. And the woman conceived, and she sent and told David and said, I am with child. David knew, thou shalt not commit adultery. He knew that. But why did he do it anyway? Eve knew that she was not supposed to eat of that tree. Why did she do it anyway? The same thing with Achan. Why did he do it anyway? Because of this avenue that the devil exploits. And so, our scripture reading this evening from 1 John 2, 15 through 17. The devil approached Jesus the same way, with the lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. And brethren, he's going to approach us with the very same way. And so I find it interesting in our scripture reading this evening, if you go back to 1 John 2, the very last verse, when John says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the vain glory or the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Look at verse 17. And the world passes away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abides forever. He that doeth the will of God. Notice how in this verse, the will of God is in contrast or opposite to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. It fits well within our lesson. If I have the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life in my life, I'm not going to want to do the will of God. Why? Because I'm going to see something that I want, and I'm going to hear something, and I'm going to want something. And so the first mistake that I would have us consider in just a great positive book is the mistake of doing what God said not to do. And then why did it come about? Because of the lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh and this attitude that I can take and I can do with impunity what I want. And so, brethren, we see that it was a costly mistake. Now turn with me to the second one that I want us to consider this evening in conquering the land. There were just so many good things in the book of Joshua, so many places where they obeyed the word of God, and Joshua is just such a great leader. But we find, unfortunately, that Joshua is also a part of this particular one. And so we need to be careful, even those in leadership positions. And I have in mind that which is mentioned in Joshua chapter 9. So if you'll turn with me there, Joshua chapter 9. Those in leadership positions, those that are setting the right example, even if we're not careful, we can get caught up with things that are not quite right. And we need to keep in mind what God wants us to do and how He wants us to follow His will. Now, you may recall this story in Joshua chapter 9, how that the Gibeonites, they acted like they were coming from a far away land. They wanted to make sure that Joshua didn't think that they were local people like the rest of the Canaanites, so they put on these clothes that look like they're old and their shoes are worn out and their bread is all moldy, and they make it look like we've come from a far away place. We're not these local Canaanites that you're trying to conquer. So let's read in Joshua chapter 9 and let's look at the second mistake that is very common even to this very day. And that is not getting God's will first. I see this all the time. We just strike out. We do something. It's in our mind that we're going to do such and such. We're okay with such and such. But did we get God's will first? We find in chapter 9 that they did not. Joshua chapter 9, verse 1. And it came to pass, when all the kings that were beyond the Jordan, in the hill country, and in the lowland, and on the shore of the great sea, in front of Lebanon, and the Hittite, and the Amorite, and the Canaanite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite heard thereof, that they gathered themselves together to fight with Joshua and with Israel with one accord. But when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard that Joshua had done what Joshua had done unto Jericho and Ai, they also did work wilily or deceitfully, and went and made as if they had been ambassadors, and took old sacks upon their asses and wineskins, and old and rent and bound up, and old and patched shoes upon their feet, and old garments upon them, and all the bread of their provisions was dry and was become moldy. They went to Joshua unto the camp at Gilgal, and said unto him, and to the men of Israel, we are come from a far country. Now therefore make ye a covenant with us. And the men of Israel said unto the Hivites, peradventure you dwell among us, and how shall we make a covenant with you? And they said unto Joshua, we are thy servants. And Joshua said unto them, who are you, and from whence, or from where have you come? And they said, from a very far country thy servants are come, because of the name of Jehovah thy God. That's just not true. And we're going to find here in just a minute that Joshua and the other Israelites, they just take their word for it. We've got to be very careful that we get God's will first before we move forward. And so we find in verse 9, we've heard the fame of him and all that he did in Egypt and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites that were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon, king of Heshbon, and to Og, king of Bashan, who was at Ashtaroth. And our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spake unto us, saying, take provision in your hand for the journey, and go and meet them, and say unto them, we are your servants, and now make ye a covenant with us. This our bread we took hot for our provision in our houses on the day we came forth to go unto you. But now, behold, it is dry, and it's become moldy. And these wineskins which we have filled were new, and behold, they are rent. These are garments, and our shoes are become old by reason of the very long journey. And the men took of their provision, and asked not counsel at the mouth of Jehovah. Underscore that in your Bible. Second mistake. Somebody says this evening, well, I would never disobey God. When God says, don't do such and such, I make it a point in my life, and I raise my kids to do not disobey God. And that's a great thing. But here's another way that we can make a mistake on our way to heaven, and that is we don't ask counsel of the Lord. Verse 15, and Joshua made peace with them and made a covenant with them to let them live, and the princes of the congregation swear unto them. And it came to pass, look at this, and it came to pass at the end of 3 days that they had made a covenant with them, that they heard that they were their neighbors and that they dwelt among them. And the children of Israel journeyed and came unto their cities on the third day. Now their cities were Gibeon and Shepherah and Beeroth and Kiriath-Jearim. And the children of Israel smote them not, because of the princes of the congregation had sworn unto them by Jehovah the God of Israel. And all the congregation murmured against the princes. It causes a problem. Turn with me to Numbers chapter 27. Numbers chapter 27. This is a very important passage when Moses is turning the reins over to Joshua. Joshua was supposed to inquire of God when it was necessary. Joshua was supposed to go to the high priest who had the Urim and the Thummim, and he was to inquire of the Lord. He did not do that on this occasion. Even the best of the best can make mistakes. And so we need to remember that, brethren, that even today we need to make sure that we are inquiring of God before we decide to do something. Very, very important. And so in Numbers chapter 27, for example, in verse 18, Jehovah said unto Moses, take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thy hand upon him, and set him before Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation, and give him a charge in thy sight. And thou shalt put of thine honor upon him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may obey. And he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall inquire for him by the judgment of the Urim before Jehovah. At his word shall they go out, and at his word they shall come in, both he and all the children of Israel with him, even all the congregation. You go get God's word first. And they made a big mistake in Joshua chapter 9. They didn't do that. Let's look now at why, and let's make some applications, and then we'll close this evening. It caused a problem, just like it did with Achan and the sin in the camp. It caused a problem. But why? Go back and read verses 1 through 13 again, and just ask yourself, how did this come about? How was it that Joshua and these other elders and leaders just took their word for it? How was it? The same way that it gets done today. Someone comes to us and we trust their appearance and we trust what they're saying, but we don't inquire of the Lord. I think it was Ronald Reagan who, during the years that he was president in the 80s, and he was having various world relationships with Russia, I believe it was Ronald Reagan who said, trust but verify. And that's the approach that we need to take. When somebody comes and says something, but we need to verify that. And the problem was they just take their word for it. These people said they're from a far country. Okay, they're from a far country. These people look like it. Based on, you know, they got these old clothes on. They got this moldy bread. We don't need to inquire of the Lord. We're just going to take their word for it. And it causes a problem. Now, today, we need to learn that same lesson. And we need to ask ourselves, are we inquiring of the Lord? The men took their provision and asked not counsel at the mouth of Jehovah. There was a means by which Joshua could do this, and he did not do that. When we trust someone's appearance, when we trust somebody's words, we believe them. The text says that they were doing this with a wily heart, a deceitful heart, verse 3. Brethren, as we go through life, we have to verify what's being done in our lives today. And so I just want to ask a few questions and then we'll close this evening. Do we desire to do the Lord's will? Jesus said, if you will to do His will, you will know of the teaching. Are we going to the Scriptures to inquire of the Lord? Are we checking? Are we asking like Paul wrote in Romans 4 and verse 3, what saith the Scriptures? Now, brethren, what I'm about to say, I realize, gets uncomfortable because it's close to home, but brethren have made this mistake over and over and over again, where we just trust what somebody is saying and we don't confirm it with the Word of God, and we get ourselves into doing things that are unscriptural. Just like Joshua and the other princes, we just take somebody's word for it. So when brother so-and-so stands up and says, we can do such and such in the church, and the elders stand up and say, we can do such and such in the church, we just take their word for it, and we don't inquire of the Lord. And it still goes on to this very day. It's divided brethren. It's caused unscriptural activities, and we don't check it. We don't check it. We just take somebody's word for it. Because brother so-and-so would never lead us astray. And the eldership would never take us down the wrong path. And that's exactly what they're doing. I'm sure Joshua was a great man. I know he was a great man. He probably had a great heart. He's sitting there listening to these guys. Okay, I'll take your word for it. He did not go to Eliezer and check this out. And while I appreciate Brother so-and-so and elders and all of that, trust but verify. Turn with me to Acts chapter 15. There were individuals who had gone out preaching that you must be circumcised in order to be saved. And they were not given permission to do that by the apostles. They didn't have authority. Brethren, we have to ask for authority. We have to ask for book, chapter, and verse authority. And when somebody cannot give us that, we need to leave and be with those who want to follow Bible authority. There are people who are going out saying things and they don't have permission to say those things. And they're troubling you with words, subverting your souls to whom we gave no commandment. They did not have authority to go out and say these things. We've got to get back to what saith the Scripture. We've got to get back to what did the Scripture say. But in order to do that, brethren, in order to inquire of the Lord, we've got to have our Bible open. And it's and young people, it's not, well, my parents will tell me, no. Young people, you have to know the Word of God. You're not always going to have mom and dad around. And so we've got to be asking, is this God's will? We've got to inquire. We don't have the Urim and the Thummim today. We don't have the high priest today with his breastplate that gives an answer. We're not given the details of how that happened. We're not given that kind of direct information. We have to go to the New Testament for that. But we need to do it. Do we examine the Scriptures daily and carefully? When Paul was in Berea, do we do that? Do we search the Scriptures? Do we inquire of the Lord? And there have been many instances among us as brethren, going back 50 years, 75 years, 100 years, 150 years, going back into the 1800s, where brethren would not inquire of the Lord. When brother so-and-so wanted to bring the instrument in, fine. In Midway, Kentucky, fine. Let him bring it on in. And it was one of the elders in the church at Midway that wanted to bring the instrument in. It was one of the elders. Another elder said, no, we're not going to do that. Went and had his slave smash the piano. The elder brought a second one in, and it ended up staying. This is not some Diotrephes troublemaker in the church doing it. It's one of the elders that wanted the piano in the church. And so, the people in Joshua 9, and rightly so, were upset with the princes, and likely Joshua, for not inquiring of the Lord. Yeah. We've got to ask, what does the Lord want in my life? And we get that by reading and following the Scriptures. But let me ask a few other things before we close. Do we inquire, but we really don't want to do it? We're going to be studying this later when we get to the book of Ezekiel. Turn with me to Ezekiel. We can have this approach. Oh yeah, tell me what the Lord wants. But are we really serious about that? We're going to get to a story later in Ezekiel. In Ezekiel chapter 20 and verse 1, it came to pass in the seventh year, in the fifth month, the tenth day of the month, that certain of the elders of Israel came to inquire of Jehovah and sat before me. Well, that's a great attitude. But keep reading. And the word of Jehovah came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak unto the elders of Israel, and say unto them, Thus says the Lord Jehovah, Is it to inquire of me that you are come? As I live, says the Lord Jehovah, I will not be inquired of you. I will not be inquired by you. Will you judge them, son of man? Will you judge them? Because cause them to know the abominations of their fathers. And say unto them, Thus says the Lord Jehovah, In the day when I chose Israel, and swear unto the seed of the house of Jacob, and made myself known unto them in the land of Egypt, when I swear unto them, saying, I am Jehovah your God, in that day I swear unto them to bring them forth into the land of Egypt. Verse 7, I said, Cast away all of your abominations. These people are still engaged in abominable activity, and they come to Ezekiel and say, tell us what the Lord wants. No, they don't really want to do it. So yes, we need to ask, what does the Lord want? But we also need to have an attitude of, when He tells me that, I am going to do that very thing. Verse 31 of the same chapter, when you offer your gifts, when you make your sons to pass through the fire, do you pollute yourselves with all of your idols unto that day? Shall I be inquired of by you, O house of Israel? As I live, says the Lord Jehovah, I will not be inquired of by you. You come in here acting like you want to know my will, and you don't even want to do it. So yes, let's have the attitude of, what does the Lord say? But let's have the attitude of, I'm going to do it. And do we inquire with the wrong heart? Saul went to inquire of the Lord, but he didn't have the right heart. And he ends up seeking out a witch at Endor. I put the 1 Samuel account. If you look at the 1 Chronicles account, it says that he came to inquire of the Lord, but then he turned around and inquired of this witch, and he was judged for that. So again, brethren, it's not just, well, okay, I'll open up my Bible. You know, Brother Eve said, I need to open up my... No, I need to open up my Bible, the New Testament, and I need to be believing it and obeying it and following it in my life. And all of it, that is for us today, we need to be having in our life. Do we inquire but only accept what we want? Do you remember when Jehoshaphat and Ahab were going together to battle? And one of them asked, well, is there somebody else who can inquire of the Lord? I don't like this Micaiah fella. He always tells me what's bad. Is there somebody else we can use to find out what God wants? I don't like listening to this preacher. He always tells the truth. Can we find out what God wants from somebody else? Can we find a preacher who will preach marriage, divorce, and remarriage in some way where I can stay in my sinful relationship? Could we get a preacher to do that? You can always find somebody who will preach it the way you want to hear it. So this matter of inquiring has some nuance to it, doesn't it? We have to inquire, yes, but also with the right heart and accepting everything that God wants us to have. Let me ask you this. Do we regularly go to where we can inquire of the Lord? Turn with me to Psalm 27 and verse 4. One of the best places to learn God's will is in the assembly on Sunday. And when brethren gather together, it's one of the great places where we can learn. Personally in our lives, of course, we can do a daily Bible reading, which would be good for all of us to do. But when we come together, that is one great place where we can learn what God's will is. One thing have I asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of Jehovah and to inquire in His temple. We can come here and we can learn God's Word and God's will. And we need to be placing ourselves in an assembly where we're going to learn all of the will of God. There are preachers today that are very popular and a lot of people like them. But are they preaching the whole counsel of God? Will we hear everything that God wants us to know in His will? And so we've got to think about those kinds of things with regard to our weekly diet. I love the statement in Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 20. To the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, surely there is no mourning for them. Is the preacher speaking according to the law and according to the testimony? And so, be present where we can learn God's will. And then last of all, do we pray for wisdom? When we're trying to make a decision about something, did we even pray about that? Did we pray, Lord, give me wisdom to know what to do in this particular situation? I've got something going on at work. I've got something going on with relationships. I've got stuff going on in the local church. I've got stuff going on in my marriage or in my parenting? Have I prayed for wisdom? Have I read my Bible? Have I inquired of the Lord? Let's not be like Joshua and the others and just trudge forward and just take everybody's word for it. Well, they look like they come from a far distance and they sound like they come from a far distance. But they inquired not of the Lord. Brethren, the lesson is yours. I appreciate your time and attention this evening. What a great book Joshua is. But when you look at this great book, there are two mistakes that they made when conquering the land. They did what God said not to do, and they didn't get God's will first. And so let's learn from these great Old Testament stories, the things written aforetime were written for our learning. So there's certainly other ways I'm aware of in disobeying God. I just want to focus on these two this evening that come out in this great book. If Joshua can make this mistake, we can. And if Achan can make this mistake, we certainly can. Let's learn from these great lessons. If God says don't do something, don't do it. And when that lust steps in and that strong desire steps in and oh how strong it is, you push that back. You conquer that. You say no to that. And when we're moving forward and new situations in life are presented to us and is this what we should do or not do? Inquire of the Lord. Even the best of us need to be doing that. Gospel preachers and elders and Bible class teachers and concerned brethren, we always, always, always need to be checking the Word of God and making sure that we are doing His will and His will only. As we stand and sing this song of encouragement, I need thee every hour. If we can help someone this evening, name the name of Christ, or if you need to come back in some way, let us help you do that. Why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?